Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. It's the off season, but the Ravens are making this quite interesting. Plenty to talk about. Talking to my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, how's it going?
It is good. Last time we talked, it was just after the Terrell Suggs signing, and a lot has happened since then. Let's talk about some of these Ravens that are staying in Baltimore. We've got Dennis Pitta, Eugene Monroe, Jacoby Jones. We've got Albert McLennan. We've got Jeremy Miles, Daryl Smith. All these guys staying in Baltimore. I know fans out there, they got to be happy to see two names at least on that list. I mean, everybody should be excited about all these players. But Pitta and Jacoby Jones, very happy to see those guys staying in Baltimore. I absolutely love what they bring to the team. And Jacoby Jones, I loved how he signed off on this. He signed his contract wearing an I Heart Be More hat. So I think the guy's happy to stay here, and I think the fans are excited about everybody staying here.
I'm excited too, man. I mean, we've been talking. I was talking to my dad this week. I was talking to my pastor this week. Some passionate fans. They're saying the same thing that what happened with Jacoby's deal. That says a lot about the organization when we take care of our own and they want to stay a Raven for the rest of their career, whether it's their second team they've been to, like a Mason was, where he played equals here as he did in Tennessee almost. Anquan, I know, moved on to greener pastures in San Fran, but it just says a lot. And very proud to be associated with this organization, Brandon. Just to stick on the Jacoby deal before I really get breaking down the others, it's when I heard that, because I knew he was visiting the Giants, I said, well, they're probably going to take him, and we're gonna lose out of our, because Jacoby's a dual threat. I know he's a wide receiver, and he's had some big plays. I mean, he caught the Mile High Miracle. He caught a touchdown Super Bowl. He ran one back, but he's known for those runbacks. And I was talking. I said I hate to see him go. And basically, when I heard how he did it, I mean, he was basically saying he was walking around in New York City about to go dinner with the Giants, and he's like, you know what? He told the taxi cab driver to take him to the airport because I'm coming back home. And he texted his agent and said, I'm coming home. And he was so humble. He took less money. The yellow Beamer hat, that was a classic fit. I love him, man. It shows you. He wanted to take less money to come back here. Obviously, he wouldn't let in on how much less. But when a player is winding down in another city and he wants to come back home to the city where he won a championship 2 years removed, that says a lot. And he even mentioned that, too. And then he also mentioned that because you know why? And I'm not bashing New York. I'm not bashing the Giants or the Jets or any organization professionally in the city of New York or around the vicinity. But it says a lot when he's being courted by the Jets – or not Jets. I said Giants, respectively. I'm sorry. And he says because Baltimore allows him to be himself, he said Harbaugh preached, be yourself. Be yourself. And it just shows you that these players – They thrive on that. They listen to that and they go, well, you know what? I'm allowed to be myself here. And I think this is why the Ravens are very successful, because they allow these players to be successful. It's not like, well, here's our system. If you don't like it, leave. It's, be yourself. And obviously with the interviews and with the team and how they go about finding these players to play like a Raven mantra, it all gels together, man. I couldn't be more tickled to death at how this week has been for the Baltimore Ravens. It's just been, report after report of good news. I mean, we got the bad news when Ray's got in trouble, but just think back. I mean, the all season, Terrell Suggs signs a contract. He's a Raven for life. We locked up Dennis Pitta again for 5 years. That's awesome. And then how about solidifying Joe Flacco's blindside? Brandon Eugene Monroe came back to Baltimore and signed a lucrative contract. And then the dominoes start to fall. Then you got Jacoby coming back. We signed our middle linebacker back, who's taking over for the signal calls for Ray Lewis upon his retirement, and Daryl Smith. Daryl Smith is a great addition, because I think next to Arthur Brown, I couldn't be more pleased to see what this is going to bring to the defense, because he's got that veteran presence, the veteran leadership. He led the team in some statistical categories last year. And to top it off, the cherry on top, what better signing to cap off a off-season Purple Friday day when we got rumored that when Steve Sisk was like, yo, as you know, we were talking on the side and we're like, well, the pundits were saying how they were, you know, we were the front runner and Baltimore was one of the five teams he wanted to go to. But when I knew Steve Smith was coming to Baltimore, I was like, I kind of was excited at first and said, you know what, he might be a Raven by the end of the day. Then as the day went on, I said, well, he wants, you know, it's the first time he's a free agent. He might want to go see what he's worth. But and it was kind of like as the day went on, I didn't expect him to be a Raven. I kind of in my heart did, but I didn't really think about it. So it was kind of expected when I get a text message saying Ravens have agreed to a deal with Steve Smith. I went back in the restaurant. I was high-fiving my buddies. I was like, we got him. We got him. We got Steve Smith. And it was just like everybody was just like the same thing, man. You know me. You know, I'm Ravens through and through like everybody else. And, you know, I said I hate wishing the summer away. But with all these signings, the hype was real. I thought we were playing on Sunday is how excited I was, bro.
Yeah, having Steve Smith come to this team is an absolute great addition.
Oh, great.
He said that, I believe, that after Baltimore, he actually had a flight booked to go to New England and see their facilities and talk to the coaches there. Yeah, but he liked Baltimore so much, and he liked the deal he was given, and he liked the fact that it was kind of close to Charlotte, so he decided this was going to be his place to be. I think this is a great addition. I think a lot of people were very worried when we lost Anquan Boldin last year. I think this guy's kind of... he's going to ease the tension a little bit for the Ravens. And biggest clue here about what this offseason means to the Ravens, let's talk about this a little bit. They tried it last year, and then Dennis Pitta got hurt, and they kind of had to revert back to being a more defensive-minded team. I think everybody that they're signing, you know, everyone, at least the majority of guys they're signing now, where they're looking, I mean, getting Steve Smith, it very much looks like they want to be an offensively minded team. They tried it last year. It didn't really work out the way they wanted to, but they're trying again this year. I mean, yes, we have Terrell Suggs. That was a huge signing, a great, great signing on the defensive end. But I mean, having Pitta and bringing in, or having Pitta and Monroe and Jacoby Jones and Daryl Smith, or sorry, not Daryl Smith, Steve Smith, added to the offensive line and added to Joe Flacco's arsenal. I really think it shows that they are taking all that money that they put into Flacco, and they're going after, and they're hunting, and they're going after the guys that they want to make this offense really key. They want to make the offense very strong, because maybe they like where the defense is. Maybe it's just because they want to strengthen up as much as they can to the offense, but maybe that's a clue of where this team is heading. We're going to see more on the offense side than we are on the defensive side. Back in 2000, it was all the defense won everything, you know, back in the day. But now we're seeing a new Ravens. We're seeing a brand new Ravens. We're seeing a brand new team here. A lot of the same pieces, but more emphasis is now going to be put on the offense.
And it's basically what I want to echo on that too, Brandon. It's you're right. The emphasis has shifted where – the offense is where it's at, and I've said it all along, and they're not done yet. We'll touch on that later, but with the pieces they've already have in place, this is a top 10 offense. I mean, the first domino that fell was Gary Kubiak. Jim Caldwell moves on, and we got Gary Kubiak, and then he rewrote the playbook. He tore the old plays out and said, we're going to infuse my playbook, and I'm very happy about that. And then it started from there. You got Suggs on the defensive side, and we all covered the signings. It just domino after domino started to fall, and then obviously the next ones will fall in the draft when we, you know, plug in some, you know, much needed players where the holes are. I just think that with the infusion, and where the league's going, it's with the rules and the way the league is, and especially with New England and Denver. You know, the high powered offenses. I mean, if Peyton's throwing 5 to 7 touchdowns a game, we need an offense to compete with that. I mean, we need a defense also to stop that on the other side of the ball for our opponents. But also, if our defense is going to let up 30 points a game, we need to score 40. So what kind of offense we need to put in the field, because that's where it's going. You know, I know apart from the Super Bowl, I know the Super Bowl is a blowout, and you see those sometimes. But with the way the league's going, you're seeing a lot of high-scoring games, you know, 30, 40 points for each team. And it's also, do you draft defense? I mean, obviously you have to put defense on the field. You got to put 11 best players on the field on defense, because if not, there'd be nobody to stop them. So, but you're right. The mantra in Baltimore was always the vaunted defense. You can't run on us. You no 100-yard rusher. And if we stop the run, it's pass. And if you pass, we're going to pick you off. And then we score 17 points a game. We're winning. You know, we win 12 out of 16 games every year, but it's shifted a bit. So we have to conform with that. And a lot of people back when Flacco signed his deal, oh, were you overpaid for a quarterback? No, scrap that. If you don't have a championship franchise winning quarterback right now, or a franchise championship winning quarterback, I should say, you're not going anywhere. I mean, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, there's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, all these guys. Aaron Rodgers, everybody. If you don't pay up for the quarterback, the man who's under center running your offense, you're not going to win. The Jets, you know, they're not going to put any money for Mark Sanchez. Where is he? He's riding the bench. You know, Blaine Gabbert of Jacksonville Jaguars, he's now traded to be backup. Look what happened to Michael Vick. He got hurt. His backup did good. Now his backup's starting. So it's you got the quarterback play, that's where it starts on offense. If you don't have a good quarterback throwing you the ball, the running back's not going to get it all. He can't run 300 yards a game and score 5 touchdowns. I mean, it's not going to happen. So you're right, man. 100% correct. I'm in agreement. Offense is where it's at, and this is where this team is going for.
Now, with Steve Smith coming in, for the people that aren't really familiar with Steve Smith, and I think a lot of people should know his name at least. They should know some of his stats. But why should Baltimore Ravens fans, why should they be excited about Steve Smith coming to the Ravens? What does he bring to this team that wasn't here before?
He brings a lot, man. Like he's even said, he echoed his words. He goes, you know, what the Ravens are getting with me, they're not only getting a 35-year-old receiver, but they're getting, you know, a hard-nosed player plays every down. They're getting that play like a Raven mentality. And just to go over some things, obviously this is courtesy of BaltimoreRavens.com, but, you know, Smith has – I'm reading right here off of BaltimoreRavens.com some snippets here. He's notched he's played 13 years, and about 7 of his years he's had 1,000 receiving yards. He's fourth – among leading active pass catchers with yardage at over 12,000 yards. I mean, he's got it, man. He's got, he's bringing that a mentality to the team that we're going to catch some passes this year because, you know, Dennis Pitt is going to be over in the middle. Torrey Smith averaged around 60 to 70 catches. So you're going to see that. If he can come in and be that possession type receiver, rabbis, he's not a number one. So we'll get that out of the way right now. He's a number two, number three option. He's going to be what happened with Mason the last years, you know, when we had him with Flacco and what happened with Bolden. It was a big third down. Was it not a big third and two? And Flacco called an audible in the Super Bowl and threw it up to Anquan and said, you go get it, make a play. Was it not Anquan Bolden in the AFC Championship game where he threw 2 touchdowns, second half touchdowns to Anquan Bolden? Anquan Bolden cuts. You know, you see where I'm going with this? Anquan Bolden caught the first touchdown in the Super Bowl. You know, he developed in that playmaker that Flacco lacked. The offense was there. I mean, we got the 2 championship games before that, and all of a sudden Anquan Bolden was there and was just like, let's go. Steve Smith, not saying Steve Smith alone is the missing piece of the puzzle to get us back to the promised land, but it's one of the pieces. But he's that possession type receiver where he's that chain mover. He's physical. He's scrappy. I've even said that personally. He's always played like a Raven. He had that mentality. It was a game last year, if you don't remember, Brandon, I think it was a Thursday Night Football game with NFL Network. Patriots-Panthers. It was in Charlotte. And the Panthers won that game. And Steve Smith caught some passes in that game. And the way he was fired up, like he was yelling, he was getting up. And I was like, that dude plays like a Raven. I wish he was on my team. And I said that with Bolden all along when Bolden had his jaw broken when he got hit. And I said, that guy, he's a Raven. You just look at some of these players and you know. I had a feeling. And I think the Ravens, what they got with Steve Smith, they got one heck of a receiver for cheap. He signed a 3-year, $11 million deal, 3.5 guaranteed. I'm more tickled to death right now. And the cap hit this year, dude, it's very – I think it's, what, like $1.5 million? I think not even $2 million off the cap hit. So, I mean, you know, we're saving some money. He's making some money, and we're getting a pretty good receiver for what was out in the free agent market. I mean, we were linked to Edelman. We were linked to, you know, I mean, we weren't linked to Decker and all those playmakers. I mean, they just wanted too much money. Akeem Nicks, I think, would have been a good fit, but with his injury – with his injury status every year, it was hard to really invest in him. And I think when you're investing in Steve Smith, you're getting somebody who's going to be there, and he's got something to prove. What better to have a player with a chip on his shoulder? Your team of 13 years cuts you, oh, you're not good anymore. It's just like a Derek Mason. He said, you know what? I'm going to come to a team where I still got it. I'm going to go prove it. And I remember when he got cut in the whole blood and guts quote from Steve Smith, you know, when he said that if I have to play the Panthers again, there's going to be some blood and guts. Well, the Panthers so happened to run through Baltimore this year. Ooh. So it sets up pretty – yeah. So anybody going to the Ravens-Panthers home game, we're going to have some it's going to be entertaining. And whether they make that a primetime game, who knows. But – it's going to be interesting if he comes out with a big career game. You know how it happens with Ravens in career games. They have them, and they have them pretty big. I mean, it's just how it goes. And like I said, Steve Smith, I couldn't be more happy. I felt the same way when we signed Anquan Boldin over 4 years ago. When I got that message that we signed and traded for Anquan Boldin, I was flipping out. I'm like, oh, my God, this is exactly what we need, because Mason, you know, retired. And then we got Boldin to see what happened when Boldin leaves. And even Harbaugh said he made a mistake of trading him. But now, redemption, we have a Steve Smith, and I think it's going to be, oh, man, a wondrous, wondrous addition to this offense. And he's excited. I've been following Steve Smith on Twitter. Every day his notifications popped up. He's ready to go. Today he tweeted, Ravens, let's go. He's fired up. He's actually quoted saying that he wanted to come here because he loved the uniforms. How cool is that? What player says they wanted to come here because the uniforms are cool? That's pretty awesome, man.
That's pretty good. We know that he's going to be wearing number 89, so if any Steve Smith fans out there want to get a jersey, you know what's really funny is that I have a buddy of mine whose name is actually Steve Smith, and I asked him if he was going to get a jersey day one, and he was like, oh, they're just going to give me one of those. I think everyone named Steve Smith's going to get a freebie there. So he's going to be wearing number 89. He's going to be 89. In purple and black, so that's going to be good to see. I agree with everything you said. I think he really does bring a lot to the offense. I think this is going to be a better team, especially a better team than last year. So we'll see what he does. You know, give him some time to get used to everybody. But Steve Smith and Joe Flacco, I think that's going to be a great duo that we're going to see coming up this year. Let's talk Absolutely. About the guys that left. I'm sorry. That was my fault. That was a false start. Let's talk about the guys that are leaving town, going someplace else. Mr. False Start himself, Michael Orr. Is gone from the Ravens, and he now is going to be playing for the Tennessee Titans. We've also lost three other guys, Arthur Jones, Corey Graham, Jameel McClain, and Arthur Jones went to the Colts. So really, he's not really changing that much since Baltimore Colts were the former colors of the Ravens. Corey Graham, he's going to the Buffalo Bills, Jameel McClain going to New York, and of course, Michael Orr, like we said, going to the Tennessee Titans. Which one of these guys do you think is the biggest loss for the Ravens?
Michael Orr? Nah, I'm just kidding. I hate to make fun of Orr. Apart from the inconsistency of play, you know, with the whole movie and his blind side, obviously, Jim Rose Joe's blind side now. He's moved the right tackle. We know the moves. It's just the inconsistency. I mean, a lot of those false starts happen in front of me at home. It was just on call for it. And like my dad was even talking, if you look at Michael Orr's false starts of his career, they were at the worst times. It wasn't like first and 10, it made it first and 20. It was like when it was third and 2. And he had the false start, and it was like it just takes the flow out of the game and what you're trying to accomplish on offense. So it was just – I think it's just time was up, but I'm happy for him. He's going back down home to Tennessee. He got to deal with the Titans. Good for him. And again, you look at his career as a whole. I mean, I remember you seeing The Blind Side, the movie, and you've seen, you know, the whole true story. If you look at his career right now, just where it is, I mean, he's got a championship ring with the Baltimore Ravens. I mean – He's a champion. You can't take that away from him. Whether he's, you know, he's not an all-pro. He's not Ogden. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Pro Bowl lineman. But, I mean, he got the job done when he was here. He played like a Raven for a while. And now he's going to the Grand Pastures. So I say good for Mike Orr. I think apart from that, I'm going to say the missing link is Corey Graham. And I say this why is what he did in the playoff last year and the gap that leaves us with this year's Ravens team in the secondary. You know, he had the game stealing. He had two picks against Peyton Manning in the divisional playoffs in the Super Bowl run. That the one pick six, which helped, and then he actually picked off the eventual game winner that stopped the Broncos in the tracks. And when Justin Tucker kicked the field goal, I think just Corey Graham, I think he's going to be missed. I mean, we had Kerry Williams go last year to the Eagles. I think it's apart from that, I think Corey Graham's number one. And I say Arthur Jones is 1B. I think 1A and 1B there because Arthur Jones on that line, true Raven there. True Raven. Obviously, championship blood in his veins. You know, his brother John Jones is fighting next month in Baltimore Arena for UFC championship. He's a great competitor. Great guy. But I'm very successful. You know, they're going to go on and be successful, and I wish them well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll definitely be seeing them because we do play. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I just wanted to say we do wish everybody, you know, good luck and hopefully their careers really do flourish in these new areas. I'm definitely going to miss Corey Graham. I thought he was a great player. I really wish he could have stayed with the Ravens. I thought he'd brought a lot to this team. Same with Art Jones. I think those two are really going to be missed here. Art Jones really he did a great job. And plus, I mean, if you remember last year, he didn't start week one because of a medical condition they didn't really know about, and they figured out what was going on, but then he turned out that everything was going to be okay and he was healthy and everything. So he said it was crazy. He's getting to play football week two or three, and a week ago he didn't know if he was even going to be able to play the game ever again. So, I mean, the guy's really been through a lot this past year, but really liked what he brought to the team. Michael Lohr, I love the Blind Side movie. I thought it was great. I know he's not a big fan of the movie himself because he says it paints him in a bad picture, makes him look like he didn't know about football and how to play it when he did. But I wish him all the best. I wish I could tell him that. I wish I could tweet to him and say, hey, best of luck, Michael Lohr. But the dude blocked me on Twitter. So
what?
Yeah.
No, how'd that happen?
I don't know. I think it was one comment when I tagged him in and I said, let's see who can get more penalties this game, Michael Lohr or another one of the Ravens on the defense. I forget his name.
You did.
So.
Oh, my. Because I tweeted him. He didn't block me.
Yeah. So.
You got blocked by a former Raven. Yeah, it's a story.
I think it was Bernard Pierce. I think it was who can get more penalties this game, Michael or Bernard Pierce. And after that game, I realized he was not tweeting. His tweets were not showing up in my timeline because I was blocked. So.
I think I'm going to have to really start giving you a hard time on this now.
So,
beware, Ravens players. Anybody listening? Don't. If you see any Brando Cash tweets, just you know, delete them. But if you see a giant Italian GQ52 along the lines, just feel free to follow me. It's pretty good. I won't say anything negative about you. I swear.
So there are a few other unrestricted free agents that the Ravens have not signed and they haven't gone anywhere. James Ahedibo is one of them. Vontae Leach, they know the Ravens aren't going to re-sign him. Ed Dixon's still out there. Terrence Cody's still out there. Tandon Doss, I believe he's not going to be re-signed either. And Brandon Stokely.
All-pro receiver right there, Tandon Doss.
Yeah. And Brandon Stokely, he's set to retire. So there's still a lot of activity that can happen in the next couple days, next week or so. So we'll see what the Ravens are going to do. I would love to see James Ahedibo come back to this team. I thought he was a great addition to the defense.
I hope he does.
So maybe he's the next guy they're going to focus on. Who knows? But
Well, speaking of action, I mean, I don't know if you really dive into the moves, but our rivals, I wouldn't say rivals, but our counterparts in the AFC have been beefing up. It touched on some of the big name moves. Darrelle Revis went to the Patriots. They lost the game to lead to the Broncos. But the Broncos signed DeMarcus Ware from the Cowboys. So they're actually putting all their chips in and trying to get this championship on defense. So they just had two big players. Julius Peppers went from inner division from Chicago to the Green Bay Packers. So that's interesting. And then a funny thing is, went from Mr. Relevant to Mr. Irrelevant down in New York City is Eric Decker. That was shocking. I think that's the most shocking free agent move this yet. He went from the Denver Broncos, started getting passes from Peyton Manning, to Geno Smith. Oh, this is going to be fun. I swear. Oh, man. But it's just, I mean, hey, it's a business, the NFL. Hey, more power to him. But I think it's going to be, and this is, again, this is why I love free agency. I love seeing the new moves, new faces, especially when they come to the Ravens. And then, obviously, when the Ravens players leave and go to greener pastures, I mean, it happens. But that's the business of the NFL. But, again, you know, it started with the Raven for Life Suggs and trickled down from there.
Yep.
And there's still free agents out there. Mike Vick's out there. I think James Jones is out there unless he hasn't signed in the next hour or so. I mean, I don't know. I think James Jones from the Green Bay Packers. I mean, there's some notable free agents out there. So, again, you know, the dust hasn't settled, and the Ravens are done. The piggyback one I mentioned earlier in a teaser is now, the draft is coming up next month, and that's where the Ravens really do work. And I want to touch on a few points of the draft, where the biggest needs are. And, you know, all these signings with the current players and with the free agent signing of Steve Smith, the Ravens are far from done. Like I said, when Corey Graham left, it left the hole in the secondary. We're in need of a free safety. I know Champ Bailey's name came up about him moving to safety. Jarius Bird's name is out there. I don't know if he signed yet. Free agent out there. So it's just a lot of question marks. They need offensive line help. Is this line just because we got G.G. Monroe and Mike Orr left? Doesn't mean we have an all-pro line. We still need a center. Alex Mack from the Cleveland Browns, he's available. And because the Colts signed a center, now the Colts are out of play for that. So the Ravens, depending on what his price tag is, could be interested there as a veteran center. And we're in need of some help all around. We solidified a receiver. I think they'll get one more receiver via draft. But right now it's all coming together. We need some corners. We need a free safety. And we need some offensive line help. But right now, I'm pleased to death that all this work's been done before the draft, and they've come this far. I can't wait to see what happens come August by the time this team really looks good.
That's right. There's plenty of stuff that the Ravens are still going to do. Let's talk about some stuff, though, that is never good to talk about with any team, anybody. But the Ravens have been dealing with a lot of guys that are actually in trouble with the law this offseason. Now, last show we talked about Ray Rice and what might come of his situation. But since then, two other Ravens have gotten in trouble. Deontay Thompson got in trouble on February 21st for possession of marijuana. And then Ja Reed got in trouble as well for he got arrested for assault. In Key West, Florida, I believe. So, busy offseason for the Ravens for the wrong reasons, but we really don't know a lot about these other two arrests, and we don't really know a lot about the Ray Rice situation, but I don't know what to say about this. That's not a good thing. We do not want Ravens to act like this in the offseason. We want them to be focused on their careers. Bar fights and stuff like that, you know, assault, you can't do that kind of stuff. Hopefully these three Ravens are able to get their priorities in order and are going to have to do what they have to do. But you never want to see something on a team like this, especially in the offseason so rapidly as well. Just three guys getting in trouble back to back to back. Never fun to hear that. So what the Ravens are going to do come next season, I don't know. But not a fun thing to talk about for the Ravens.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, you don't want to see these guys get in trouble. I mean, you just hope that it all comes out clean, and a lot of negative publicity comes with that. The Ravens handled it very well. I'm not really worried about that. I'm tarnishing the name and whatnot. But it's these guys, you just got to stay out of trouble. I mean, you're in the public eye, public spotlight. It hurts your team. I mean, you know, anything, you don't have to be an NFL player to get in trouble, but just anybody personally. When you get in legal troubles or any trouble, there's a ripple effect. It doesn't affect you. It affects, you know, whoever you work with. It affects your family. It just, you got to think when you're out there. And, you know, spinning that on a positive note on that, too, speaking of the troubles, even Jacoby Jones said this about Ray Rice, and I've seen some articles posted about it that, you know, with his legal troubles, Ray Rice was spotted at the facility about 15 pounds later. Maybe he's in shape. I'm still giving Ray Rice the benefit of the doubt. You know, admit it was wrong. Come clean. Put it behind you. Take your lumps and come back and play hard. And let's see what happens. And, you know, with Ja Reed and Millett, you just have to hope that these guys just got to stay out of trouble. I mean, you just can't be dumb. Can't be stupid. But, again, not everybody's perfect. They're going to do things. But it's just, I'm just glad that they're not in major trouble. These are just, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not condoning anything versus, you know, any negative news. At least they did it first. I'm not going there. Whatever they did was wrong. You know, if they got in trouble, they got in trouble. It's definitely wrong. But I'm just at least, you know, happy that it wasn't something horribly wrong. Or, you know, you just want our players to be safe. We want to make good decisions, and it'll play itself out. I mean, whether Ja Reed. I think we drafted him well, and he hasn't performed to his potential. So it might be time to move on from that. We don't know. It's all speculation at this point. But as far as I know, they haven't really said nothing. Now, all they have said is Ray Rice is going to be part of the offense 2014. I don't know about the other two players, but we will see. But you're right, man. It's just you don't want to hear any bad news of these guys getting arrested. It was it went not even a week without two or three arrests. And when it was all set with all the good news of signing. So, but you're right. It has been a pretty eventful offseason for the Ravens, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it has. And hopefully these guys can straighten themselves out. Right. Hopefully they can get everything figured out that they need to figure out. And it seems as if, I mean, Ray Rice hasn't really made a statement. The Ravens haven't made a statement about his situation. But the fact that he is dropping weight like that and he is at the facility makes me think that he's taking kind of the situation and handling it the best way he knows how, and trying to become a better maybe a better person, a better way to manage his emotions, kind of thing. He's not just getting in trouble and then going back out and doing the exact same thing. It seems like he's trying to at least make a change for the better, at least. So that is at least something good to see. But we'll see what happens as time goes on. So is there anything else we need to talk about? Did we miss anything in this show?
I actually believe at this point in juncture of the show, I don't think there's not a chance we forgot anything. I think everything's good. All good in Ravens Nation.
Very, very cool, man. Glad we're doing these off-season shows, keeping us busy as we can be. The Ravens are staying busy in the off-season, so we got plenty to talk about. If you want to continue to talk to Josh or I about the Ravens, about football, you can tweet to both of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at @GQ52, but fans beware. If Brando Cash ever deadmouses, there's the block button right there.
And Michael Orr, he's okay with using that block button. I think I'm not the only Baltimore Ravens fan that he has blocked, so I hear. So
right.
We'll see what happens there. Hey, if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like the show over there. Also, like the Brando Cash Network, facebook.com/BrandoCash. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Now, make sure you be social with the show. Let people know that you are a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to The Call, and they should too. So go to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know about The Call. And also, let them know to go to our new website, BrandoCash.com. That's going to be our new hub, our new home for the podcast. Any information you need about the podcast, about Josh or I, you can find at BrandoCash.com. And as the season, the off season goes on, we'll be posting blogs about how we got into podcasting, a little bit about our backstory, as well as what we think is going on with the Ravens throughout the summer. So BrandoCash.com is going to be our new home for any kind of information about the podcast. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thanks, Brandon. Will do. It's been a tremendous off season thus far. You know, some good, some bad, some ugly, but mostly good. You know, we got some good signings. I'm very excited to welcome the newest Ravens, Steve Smith, to the flock. Can't wait to see him on the field and practice, and really can't wait to see what he can bring to the table in 2014. Tickle to death Ravens fans, we're all excited, but the draft is upon us. We're going to be watching and watch Ozzie do his work again. But until then, you guys, stay fresh, stay hungry. Enjoy some more of this baseball this offseason. But Ravens season is never ending, because as you see, we do work all year round. So till the draft, stay tuned, and we're going to fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.